We've been talking in Proverbs. We're doing a summer of Proverbs. The reason we're doing this series for the summer is Proverbs. I have found myself, when I preach to you, I quote Proverbs all the time. I'll find myself just pulling up a proverb, and that book has impacted my life just from reading one chapter a day every month. Proverbs has 31 chapters. As you know, there's usually 30 or 31 days in a month. So if you read a chapter of Proverbs for whatever day it is, I can guarantee you your wisdom and the application of God's word will change. You will find yourself applying what that book says because it is wisdom literature, and wisdom is applying knowledge. Okay, it's one thing to have knowledge. We've learned in this series. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to do what you know, right? Come on now. We all have heard messages, we've heard good advice, we've heard truth, but it's really different to be able to apply that on a daily basis, and that's what Proverbs helps us do. So today, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 4, and I just want to tell you, next week for Father's Day, by the way, guys, get everybody here, we're going to give away Bass Pro cards and some really cool stuff. Don't miss Father's Day, moms, you come, bring children, and there's going to be something for everybody in the message, but next week, we're going to go back to the beginning of this chapter for our Father's Day message, but today we're going to the end of chapter 4, and we're looking at Solomon talking to his sons in these first few chapters. Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. He's one of the richest men that ever lived, and he's given advice to his sons, and in this part of the chapter, he gets down to where he's saying, all right, listen, here's the most important thing. Have you ever given instruction to your children and you said, now listen, above all else, like maybe you're going out of town or even for the day, and you say, now listen, I don't care what else happens today, but when I get back, this room better be cleaned up above all else, okay? Or I don't, listen to me now, listen. I don't care, you go where you say you're going tonight, but above all else, you better not be hanging out with so-and-so. You better. Or you better not go over there. Yeah. So a lot of times when we give our kids advice, we give them priority. We'll say, now listen, I know this and this and this, but above all else, you need to do this. Have you ever had that kind of advice? Have you ever failed to follow that kind of advice? Yeah, me too. We're all children of our parents. And so here's Solomon. He's talking to his kids and he's saying, listen, I'm just going to give you some really good advice. And he starts with this section, he says, above all else. And let's look at this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 through 27. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, okay? Everything you do, all your issues, everything that happens is going to come out of your heart. We're going to find out what that really means in a moment. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Everybody say, keep your mouth.
Keep your mouth.
Woo! Aren't you excited? You ready for me to preach you on that one? Yeah. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Everybody say, roll tie. Oh, boo. It's just like, woo. Y'all are going to keep corruption from your lips, aren't you? That's good. That's good. You're passing the test. All right? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast. Be steadfast. Everyone say steadfast. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Wow, wise man giving wise advice. Above all else, guard your heart. I want you to see this morning. Guard your heart. Above all else, son, guard your heart. There's a lot of different things that we can think of when we think of heart. We think of course, the muscle that beats inside our chest, and that's not what Solomon is talking about here. The Hebrew word heart here means the inner man, the inner person, or your mind. You know, we point here when we talk about heart, but really in the Bible, when we talk about heart and the inner man, we should, because hopefully, we're thinking, right? Hopefully, we're using this up here, our mind. So what Solomon is really saying when he's giving this great advice to his son, as he's saying, son, guard your mind above all else. Here's what really matters in life, is what gets in your mind. How many of you know people can have your mind? Oh, yeah. Some of you, she's got your mind. Oh, yeah. Or he's got your mind, right? You meet somebody, and remember when you were a little bit younger? And you met them, and, whoo, you thought they were so good looking, and God had just, and all you could do was think about them, right? Now that you're older, something else done got your mind. There's a lot of things. Worry can get our minds. Worry can, anxiousness can just get a hold of our minds. And all we can think about is the worry and the anxiety, which really boils down to a fear of the future. We have a fear of what could happen tomorrow. And we have a fear of what may not happen. And so we stay anxious because we can't change it. We can't control it. Whew, everybody say control. So a lot of us stay in fear and anxiety because what we really want is control. I can just drop the mic and walk out right there because I'm preaching to myself too. What we really want is control. And if we can control everything, then we won't have to worry about it. But you know what? The opposite of that is putting our trust in God. And so many times that's how we're going to guard our mind from anxiety and fear, is to just put some raw belief and trust in God when we say, you know what? I'm not going to let worry have my mind. God, I'm listening to you, Father. You're speaking to your son, and I'm not going to let lust take over my mind. I'm not going to let desire for pleasure to rule my mind. I'm going to guard my mind. I'm going to do what you say, Lord, and I'm going to guard. I'm not going to let things, I'm not going to let shame and failure rule my mind, my past. When I look back and all I can think about is how poorly I have failed. And then there are some people that know my failure. And Lord, they take delight in pointing out where I have failed. David said that about his enemies. His enemies were accusing him. His enemies were bringing him to court, so to speak, in their speech. And David said, Lord, I need you to defend every tongue that rises up against me. And in our mind, sometimes we have people reminding us of the past and of our failures, and we do it ourselves. In our mind, how you think about yourself matters. Now, some of you know, and I've said this before, that I have a lying mirror in my house. My mirror is lying. Because I look in the mirror and I go, yeah, that's right, boy. You know? And I'm sure I'm not seeing what you see. As a matter of fact, I said that a couple of months ago and somebody messaged me on Facebook and said, I'm so glad you said that about that mirror. I have the same one. It's like, yeah, good for you. But sometimes we look at ourselves and we know our failures. And we know, well, you know, I'm not that spiritual man. I'm not that spiritual woman. I'm not that church person. I'm not this. I have failed. And in our minds, the way we speak to ourselves keeps us pushed down. Our self-talk is so negative. That's our heart. That's what's in our heart, is just how rotten and ashamed and bad I am. And I'll never be able to live up to that. I'll never be able to be like that couple. Our marriage will never be like that. Or I'll never be like that man or that woman. And we compare ourselves to others in our mind. And we compare ourselves to our past. And the wisest man that ever lived, and our wise God, is saying, guard your mind from those kind of thoughts. Because here's what God says about you. He says, I want you to be the first and not the last. And my eye is on you. My heart is for you, says the Lord. I don't remember your failures. You know what? Love doesn't keep a list of wrongs. Now, your spouse might, but they need to operate in love, right? We don't keep a list, do we, men, do we, ladies? Well, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. God's not keeping a list. So guard your mind. You say, but Pastor Keith, I want to change. I know. And you will, listen to this, you are not going to beat yourself up enough, make yourself feel ashamed enough, fearful enough, or bad enough to change. It's not going to happen. But if you will guard your mind, believe, know yourself, look in the mirror and know, I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am saved and not lost. I have the Spirit of the living God living in me. And I am going to begin to listen in my mind to what the Spirit has to say. And yes, then I'm going to be able to control my thoughts. And how many of you know if I can get control of my thoughts, I can get control of my actions. But the only way I'm going to control this is through the Spirit of God living in me. I want my mind. I want to guard my heart. I want to guard it through the Spirit. I want it to be submitted to the Spirit because, as I've told you, you know your mind can run off with you, right? Your mind can have some crazy thoughts. So the wisest man that ever lived, speaking to his son, says, listen, above all else, if you want to have success in life, guard your heart. Be careful of what gets in your mind. Be careful of what you think about. Then he says, not only that, and this really goes together, guard your heart or your mind, but listen, keep your mouth. Whew. Keep your mouth from corrupt speech, from perverse talk. That word corruption or perversity in the Hebrew means like crooked. Don't have a crooked mouth. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Here, let me tell you a place where I believe that our speech hurts us most. First of all, it's in our mind. It's our self-talk, okay? The way you talk to yourself really matters. Here's another thing. When we think about using our tongue, when we think about our speech bringing death, a lot of times we think about gossip, right? When we talk negatively about someone else. And I'm going to tell you, that is one of the most hurtful things that can happen in a church, is when people start talking about each other. And we don't just say, hey, I need to tell you the latest gossip. You know that. We would say, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? You know, bless their heart, they're going through this. That sounds all right. Then we just tell everything we've heard about them. And at the end, we may wind it up and say, well, we need to pray for them. Well, so Solomon is saying, listen, if you want to be successful in life, keep your mouth. Guard your mouth. Not only guard your heart, but guard your mouth. I want to tell you what I've learned from church, and this will hit home for church people. Here's why we don't have the power. One of the reasons we don't have the power the church should have. One of the big reasons that we don't have the power of God and the power of the Spirit in our lives in the church. I'm not talking about how the world lives. I'm talking about those of us who have been Christ followers for a while. It's the way we talk in private. See, it's not the gossip. You've got that down pretty good. You know how to act in public. You know how to say the right things in public. But when you are by yourself and you're speaking to those that you can trust, and these are the times when you tell how much you don't like so-and-so. How much you can't stand that they do this, or they wear that, or they say this, and they always get on my nerves. And listen to me, that matters. And that private talk, we're still not guarding our mouth. Now, can I trust to share some things with my spouse and my love? Of course, there are going to be some times when we share some things that are on our heart and that we're struggling with. But I'm talking about this same thing of taking life from someone. And we think, church people, we think because we're doing it in private over the dinner table or laying in the bed at night that that's okay. And I'm telling you, we are being robbed of the power of God. It matters. It matters that we guard our mouth even when nobody else is going to hear it, even when we're speaking to somebody that we trust. Wow. That's hanging up there like a lead balloon. But I'm telling you, it's true. We have seen our churches and church people lose power because they would not keep their tongue. And so many times, It's because we want what we want, not what the Spirit wants. Let's move on from that because I'm stealing your joy this morning. I don't want to do that. So he says, son, I'm giving you some good advice. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Keep your mouth. I can't say enough how much it matters how you speak to yourself, too. Speak life to yourself. Think life to yourself. Okay, and he says, keep your mouth, but fix your gaze. Fix your gaze. Fix your eyes. Listen to what Jesus says about the eye in Matthew. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is what lets light in. And literally, that's what the eyes do. It lets light in. And he said, but it also lets light out. So it matters where you fix your gaze, son. What are you going to be focused on? If you're focused on riches, if you're focused on money, then that's where your heart, that's where your mind is going to pursue. And ultimately, that's what you're going to worship. If you are focused on the opposite sex, if you're focused, there are a lot of things that we can focus our gaze on. And we literally need to guard what our eyes see, especially in this day and age, because on our phones, on our tablets, on our computers, how many of you know we can see anything we want to? And Jesus says, remember, the eye is the lamp of the body. That's how you're going to, wherever you're received, wherever you're focusing your gaze, your purpose, your direction, that's what's going to come into your mind and get into your heart. So you can also guard your mouth and guard your heart by guarding your eyes, fixing your gaze on the things that are above, looking ahead, looking into eternity, understanding that there is a consequence for the decision I make now. Some of you here, maybe just a couple of people, right now you're still on the outside looking in. And you're kind of figuring, you're still looking at this whole church thing. You're looking at some people that you know that they go to church, they have a relationship with Christ, but you're still not sure. You keep thinking, I don't know. You may not have worded it like this, but you said, I don't know if I can keep those rules. I see people that are Christ followers, and they don't do these things, but I do these things. Well, listen, we used to do those things too. Sometimes we still fall. But you come to Jesus just like you are. Don't look at others and compare. Listen to me. If you're still on the outside looking in, don't look at anyone else and compare where you are to where they are. You look to Jesus. And I promise you, when you look to him, he's saying, you come in just like you are. Don't worry. Don't worry. I understand you're dirty. I understand you've got some failures. You understand that? I get it. You've got some dirt on you, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to clean you up. And yes, your behavior is going to change. There are some things you're doing that I'm going to give you strength to stop doing. But you don't have to clean up before I give you the bath. Amen? So stop looking around at everybody else. Stop it. And some of you are outside looking in, and you're looking and you're saying, well, I would be a Christ follower, but that church has hypocrites in it. Right? Come on now. Getting kind of real in here this morning. That's the very reason that's why I don't like religion. I don't like church because we got people in here that are human and fail. I can tell you that. But if you're outside, maybe you're online this morning, if you're outside looking in, let me tell you this. You have to be smaller than whatever you hide behind. Woo! You have to be smaller than whatever you hide behind. If you're going to hide behind a hypocrite, guess what? All right? Jesus didn't say, Look at the hypocrite. Look, he says, look at me. Fix your gaze on me. Fix your eyes on me. And guess what? There are those of us in the church that will say, we're not perfect, but you know what? You can look at this. You can look at how we love each other, and you can look at how we love God, and we are struggling and fighting to live a righteous life. Why don't you come in here, quit treading water and pointing out where the leaks are in the boat and get in this boat with us and help us bail and stop up these leaks. Amen? Man, you can't stay outside looking in. At some point, you got to go ahead and get in this thing. I'm talking about becoming a Christ follower. I'm talking about taking that step of faith to really become a Christ follower. Fix your gaze on what Christ has done for you. Fix your eyes. Jeremiah said it like this. He said, I have set my eyes like flint. What has caught your eye lately? What is it that has been a distraction to you? Have you ever seen these little videos of like these laser pointers where they'll get a dog or a cat and their eye will catch that laser pointer? And I love the ones where it's these little bulldogs and they'll put it on the wall and they'll just boom, run flat into the wall. That's funny to me. I don't know why. That's just funny stuff. Oh, I'm editing some stuff right now. Why do Florida Gator fans' dogs have flat faces? Chasing parked cars. See, I changed that. I was Florida Gators. I didn't say LSU. We all hate Florida, right? Okay. All right. Something can catch an animal's eye, and boy, they're just, it's got their full attention, and I think sometimes the enemy points little laser pins at us and gets us off track, and we say squirrel, and if you don't know what that means, watch the movie Up, but it catches our attention, and there's always something that's after our gaze and after our attention, and the wisest man that ever lived is saying, listen, be sure that your eyes, that your focus and attention is fixed on the right things. And some of you have been so fixed on the negative lately. You've been so fixed on the failures of others. You've been so fixed on your own failures that you can't even see anything good anymore. Some of you, you wake up and the sun is shining and you draw the curtain because you don't even want to see any light. Your eyes have been fixed on what's bad and what's wrong and what's negative and what's hopeless. And can I tell you, from guarding your heart, from keeping your mouth, and from fixing your gaze, you can have hope this morning. Everybody say hope. Hope. I say it so much. When I first became your pastor, I began to say we're going to love God, we're going to love people, we're going to love life. And we're not going to try to give people rules and religion. We're going to give them hope, because I can tell you, no matter what you're going through this morning, whether you're facing a physical battle, a spiritual battle, relationships, whatever it is, finances, career, what everyone in this room needs this morning is hope. And that's what this is all about. This is what Solomon is saying. If you want to keep hope alive in your life, if you want to keep an expectation of good from God, see, our hope is in the supernatural expectation of God. My hope is not in what I can do. My hope is not in what you can do, what my money can do, what my wife or husband can do. My hope is in God. That's where I'm going to fix my eyes this morning. Do I make myself clear? Guard your mind. Guard your mouth. Fix your gaze so that you don't lose hope. There is hope for you. But Pastor, I can't stop drinking. I'm abusing alcohol. There's hope for you. I can't stop the drugs. There's hope for you. I'm hooked on the internet. I'm hooked on porn. There's hope for you. I feel like I'm going to lose my marriage. There's hope for you. I feel like I don't have a future. There's hope for you. But it's not in this world. Our hope is in God. That sounds cliche. So let me make it even more clear. Our hope is not in our circumstances. My hope is not in that my circumstances will change. I can hope and pray and even beg God and petition God, please change this. Please make it the way I want it. Heal me. Heal my loved one. Give me enough money. Let me win the lottery. Did anybody win that big lottery yesterday? They did? Oh, I knew I should have got a ticket. That could have been me. All right. I can put my hope in a lot of different things. God, please, please just fix this for me. Please do this in my marriage. Please do this in my children. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way, right? Come on, let's be for real. Life does not always go the way we want it to go, and God does not always say yes to everything we ask Him for. He doesn't do it our way. I don't know what's wrong with him. We obviously know what's best, but he's not listening to that, is he? So I'm not even going to put my hope. I'm not going to put my hope in God answering everything the way I think it ought to be. I'm going to put my hope in God, not him doing what I want him to do, and there's a big difference. I'm going to put my expectation, and my blessed hope is, and this is in the Bible, our blessed hope is that one day this life's going to be done, and we're going to live with him forever. He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth, and there won't be any more worry. There won't be any more anxiety and fear and sickness and pain. That's where my ultimate hope is, my ultimate hope. So that's why I'm guarding my mind. That's why I'm keeping my mouth and I'm fixing my gaze, because my hope is in heaven. And not only that, but God is going to work on earth. He's going to work. He can bring heaven down on earth, and it can be in my life. Listen to this. Things can be in my life just like they are in heaven. Does that sound familiar? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, heaven come down, thy will be done in my life. Whatever way you want it in heaven, that's where my gaze is. Now bring that down and let it be in my life. Guys, come on. We work so hard to get things the way we want them. We fix our gaze on what we want. Things catch our attention. And today God is saying, listen, refocus on me. Wasn't it better? Wasn't life better when you had your eyes fixed on me and not just what you wanted and what you thought would make you happy? All right. The next thing the wisest man that ever lived told his son is, he says, listen now, make your path smooth. And what that really meant is a level path. What you need in life is a level path. In this culture, wherever you went, they either walked or they rode something, but most of the time, wherever you went, you walked. So if you wanted a good trip, if you wanted a pleasant experience, the best scenario was that you had a level path, right? How many of you have ever tried to walk out there in the marsh? Man, I don't want any of that. I've had just a little bit of that. I'm going to confess to you. About a month ago, I took my little coon hound down to the end of the road, down to the boat launch. I know all that's posted, but the dog can't read. What am I supposed to do? So I was just going to, you know, it's the middle of the night. I just wanted to let her get out in the woods a little bit. So I'm walking down by this canal and out there on the gas line. And I know it looks real grassy and it's wet. And I said, I'm just going to see. And so I stepped out there, and when I put my foot down, the grass did like this. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A wave of it did like that. And I was like, oh, boy. So I tried to see if I could just cross it. And in just a moment, I was about this deep. The dog was down there. We were both trying to cross. We were covered from head. It was not easy walking. And some of y'all are like, we know this, Pastor Keith. We grew up down here. And there are some places out here in this marsh that it looks like you could walk. It looks like, man, there's stuff growing. You can see animals go across that stuff. And you would think, well, if a deer can walk across that, I can walk across that. No, you can't. And that's the way life will be. Sometimes there will be a path that looks good and it looks right, and you think this is the way to go. But you know what? If you don't check with the Father, if you don't check with the wisest man that ever lived and get his advice, and he's saying, listen, I'll show you a good path. Let's make sure your direction and your purpose and your focus will get you where I want you. So consider where you're walking. Consider the path of life that you're taking. Here's an easy way to ask what you're doing. About to get real again. Is the way my marriage is and my relationships, okay? My marriage and my relationships, personal, so that's for singles and married people. All right, my finances, my money, my career, all right, my relationship with God, my connection to the church, are all of these working on the path that God wants me on? Are all of these working together to move me down the path that God wants me on? Or is he trying to say, hey, now, wait a minute. You're doing okay here, but I need you to think about this. I need you, are y'all listening to me? A level path. Let me give you the last one as Trey comes. He said, I'm going to give you some good advice. I want you to be steadfast. Be steadfast. You know what steadfast means? It means unmovable. It means I'm not wavering around from one place to another. Be steadfast. I've had some times in life where I was like James. James says, a man who doubts is like someone who's tossed on a wave on the ocean. You know, waves are up and down. One minute I'm here, the next minute I'm tossed high. I'm up and down. I'm tossed around. Solomon said, son, I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be somebody that knows how to hold on. I want you to be somebody that is unmovable and unwavering. What does that mean, Pastor Keith? Here's what it means. It means I'm going to love God and love people even when my husband's acting a fool. I'm going to love God and love people when my wife is going crazy. I'm going to love God and love people when my children aren't right. My finances are not where I want them to be. I'm getting all these different opportunities and things that can distract me, but here's what I'm not. I am not going to be blown around and moved by every circumstance and everything that comes through my life. God, I'm going to stand right here with you, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm not going to be in and out. I'm not going to be on fire one day and wet wood the next day. I'm not going to be up and down. We all go through different seasons, and we all go through different times. And yes, there are going to be up and downs. But listen, the wisest man that ever lived said, be steadfast. Here's how I picture steadfast. I don't have to wonder about you. I don't have to wonder where you stand. Because you're steadfast. Oh, I know you're going to make mistakes. I know you're going to have seasons and weak times, but I don't have to wonder because you are a steadfast person. I can count on you. God can count on you. Can you be counted on? Can you be counted on? That's a good question, isn't it? You can count on me. You can count on me as a friend. Can you answer? Can you be counted on as a friend? Can you be counted on as a husband, as a wife, as a daughter, as a son? Can you be counted on as a member of Life Fellowship? Are you steadfast? Can you be counted on to give, to serve, to love, to pray? Good advice today from Solomon. Above all else, would you stand with me? If the prayer team would come forward. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Keith, I'm one of those that have been outside looking in. I really want to speak to you. If you're outside looking in, and you say, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've been watching. I see people. I've seen some things, but I feel like today, I want you to know, again, you can't be good enough. That's not how you become a Christ follower. You don't clean yourself up enough. You don't start acting right enough. You just come and accept Christ. Here's how you become a Christ follower. You say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on a cross and rose again. And now I want to give my life to him. And I want to live my life according to what he says. That's what becoming a Christian means. When you realize you need Jesus, you realize you're a sinner, and you realize that he died for your sins, and now you want his life and not your life. So with every head bowed, no one's looking around, every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor Keith, I'm one of those that's been outside looking in. I've never really made this decision to be a Christ follower, but I think the time has come. I've tried it on my own. I've tried it my way. I'm willing to try God's way, and I'm going to come to him just like I am. That's you this morning. When I count to three, just slip up your hand. Get ready. This is your time. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer out loud together. I'm going to help you call on Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's what I'm going to do in this prayer. I'm going to let you tell God that you're a sinner. I'm going to let you tell him that you believe that Jesus died for your sins. I'm going to let you tell him that you believe that he's alive and that you want him to rule your life. That's what I'm going to help you say to him. So let's all pray this together. Lord Jesus, I come today just as I am. I've messed up. That means I'm a sinner. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And today, I turn away from that old life. I believe you rose again, and you are alive to give me life. So from now on, I won't live for myself. I won't live for my friends, and I sure won't live for Satan. But Jesus, I will live for you. I make you the king of my life, and I accept you as my Savior. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, whoever believes upon the name of Jesus, to him he gives the right to be called a child of God. You said that prayer in faith this morning. You're a child of God. Please do this. Please fill this out. Put your name on there and mark on here that what decision you've made, that you've made that decision, so we can help you. We just want to help you. Nobody's going to pressure you into anything. We just want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Also, if you're a first-time guest, remember you can fill this out and leave it and get a gift as you're leaving today. Aren't you glad today that there's hope in God? There's hope in him. You have hope. He is able. Amen. What are y'all going to do this afternoon? Y'all good plans? Anything? Anything I need to know about? Hey, there's Nick. Nick's been working a lot. Hey, Nick, we just want you to know they make more than one color truck, bud. We just kind of a personal joke there. He got a new truck, and it's a little different color than his old one, though. A lot different than his old one. Okay. Pastor Keith, why are you talking about stuff like that? Because you're about to go out into the unreal world. See, we would say the real world. I want you to know that this isn't us being spiritual. Then you go out there and deal. No, no. We come in because we are spiritual. We get strength. We hear from God. And who we are here is who we are out there. Amen? Man, so we're always spiritual. We're always Christ followers. So I want it to be real when you leave today. I want you to have above all else in your heart. I want you to start to guard your mind and let God speak to you, okay? May God bless you and keep you. May he keep you from evil and pain and keep you from causing pain. May he open doors for you and give you favor and extend your realm of influence. I pray that what you have been asking for that is in his will, that you would receive it in the name of Jesus. He wants his will done in your life. So may it come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. Listen, the prayer team is here. If you need prayer, if you need to pray about anything, please come and let one of the prayer team pray with you. We love you and you're dismissed.